And we'll go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5. You know, Revelation chapter 5, the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is under heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the 24 beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God that we've read. And Lord, just pray I'd help you. Pray you'd help me to be a blessing, and I pray, Father, you'd help me to say some things that would make a difference in the hearts of people, that you would work in each person's heart. And Lord, I just ask for your help now as we look at this passage of Scripture, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know, the scene here is in heaven. John has got a vision of heaven. He's been caught up into heaven. He's getting to see it. And he's in a place that he's never seen before. He describes it as best he can to us. But so much of this, we can't really comprehend what it's saying. We have to take it by faith. And we can't really picture in our mind what he saw or tried to describe. That's why the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit of God that makes heaven real, because we can't comprehend this place. We're still trying to figure out the earth, much less heaven. And he's there and he's in heaven. And he sees the throne, and he saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And he saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now therein is an interesting thing that happens. The angel, there's this book here, and this book is literally the things that are about to unfold, those seven seals. And within those seven seals, the seven trumpets and the seven the seven bowls and then the seven trumpets and all the things that are going to happen. This is God making an end of sin. God dealing, keeping His promises to Israel and making an end of sin, bringing in the millennial kingdom. And then after that, obviously, the eternal kingdom, what we would call eternity or heaven and all that type of thing that we look forward to. But this is the end of it. And the angel calls out and he says, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And it says, "No man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Now, John understands about under the earth because he's buried a lot of people. John understands about in the earth because he's lived there all his life. He knows what men are. He knows that those that have died and departed, he understands why, because the wages of sin is death. And he's seen the wickedness of man. He himself on this day is in the Isle of Patmos. He's on an island, which is basically a rock sticking out of the Aegean Sea. It's part of the Mediterranean area over there. It's basically pretty much just a rock. And he's there, and he's in prison there because he told people about Jesus. He told them what God wanted them told. And he hadn't done anything but obey God, but he's been persecuted, he's been hurt, he's been beaten, he's been imprisoned. And there he is in that time frame, and now he gets a glimpse of heaven. So he didn't have much of a thought, if you will, about why in the world would anybody on earth be found worthy. I mean, I don't think that bothers him that much. But then it says something else. He's in a place where there's no sin. He is in a place where there are no sinners. And he said, "No man in heaven is able to open the book." And he said, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." I mean, you can understand why people that are dying in the grave, that they are unworthy. Those that have died lost and they're in hell now. You can understand why they're not worthy. And you can understand why people living on the earth are not worthy. But when you get to heaven, now you get to heaven and nobody's worthy. In a place where there's no sin and no sinners, but nobody's worthy. You can understand why he wept. Because here it is, here is this is the end of God's work and the end of God's judgment and the end of all these things is written in these seals. It's what we would know as what's coming in the book of Revelation and the things that are going to happen during this time. All of these things that happen. And so when this is all brought to fruition, he looks at, sees what this is. I think John understands what's coming, what's supposed to be in these seals, and nobody's worthy to open it. Not even in heaven. No man is able to open it. question to you would be, why is no man in heaven worthy to open it? If they've all been redeemed, if their sins have been washed away, why is no one worthy? Would you want to venture a guess about that? Why are they not worthy? The answer is really simple. I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is because every person there that is in heaven, their righteousness is borrowed righteousness. It is not, it's imputed righteousness. It belongs to another and was put to their account. There's when we get the good news, and he says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Here is Christ who is by nature God, but he's also by nature fully man, but not just by nature man, by nature sinless man. His righteousness is not imputed. It's inherent. It's real. He doesn't get it from anybody else. It is who he is. And as a man, as a sinless man, they behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. In other words, the Bible says in the book of John that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. We get a measure of the Spirit. We get the indwelling of the Spirit. We get the earnest of our inheritance. But Christ, as a man, he didn't have the Spirit by measure. He always had the fullness of the Spirit. Those seven spirits of God, the seven eyes and seven horns, are representative of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that is who Christ was. He was 100% God, but fully man, and as a man he was without sin. And so he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And nobody was worthy in heaven except Jesus, because everybody in heaven's righteousness came from him, did it not? It's imputed to them. That's why nobody was worthy in heaven, although he's in the midst of ten thousands upon ten thousands of saints, of justified men, of righteous men, of sinless men. And yet none of them could take the book, because all of their righteousness and all of their sinlessness, all of it was purchased with the blood of Christ, and it comes from him. Like the Apostle Paul said, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. That righteousness which is imputed to us, it's given to our account. We talked in the morning thing that God counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. That is what God does. He accounts that righteousness to us. That righteousness, that faithfulness of Christ. And there we see it. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Sit up, young ladies, please. Sit up. Thank you. All right. And they're there, and they're now falling on their face before him, and they're offering up the prayers and all of these things that are coming. And in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And so we're looking at this, and we see this now. And we see that where John was weeping, because he's a newcomer. He doesn't know what's going on. He hasn't been there very long. And all of a sudden, here's the proclamation. Here's the book. Here's that this book that has the judgment of God that's going to make an end of all things. This is the end. He's been called up to be shown things that are going to come hereafter. And nobody's worthy. A roll call is made. And no one's worthy until the Lamb steps forward. And Jesus Christ in His humanity is worthy. Because He's without sin. So there He is. And now they're singing, aren't they? Whereas John was weeping, they had to go to him and say, Weep not. Don't cry. Don't cry. The Lamb, He's prevailed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, He's prevailed. And they start singing. They break out in singing in heaven. And what are they singing? Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Why? Because thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. We're going to reign in the earth because you paid the penalty for our sins. Because our righteousness is of you. You redeemed us to God by your blood. They're singing. They're happy. They're joyful. Whereas John, not understanding, began to weep. But those folks in heaven, they understand. Would to God we could understand. Would to God we could rejoice like that over our salvation. Wouldn't it be good to go out with joy in your heart and be thankful and look at this world? And we always talk about the bad things that are going on, don't we? And the terrible things that happen. We were talking about what our government's doing. We're talking about a wreck a while ago and things that happen and things. We just sit there and say, man, I wish this stuff would stop. But we never can find time to rejoice. Once again, I wonder if that's because our perspective is wrong. We act like people that don't know what's going on, don't we? We act like people that don't have a clue. But we're not walking in darkness, are we? I hope not. Hope you're not walking in darkness. Hope you understand that God's in control. I hope you understand. That your salvation is secure in Christ. I hope you understand that. You know, that John's weeping when he ought to be rejoicing. And I understand we're in the same position that John was, in a sense, because we live in the same type of world. We aren't yet in heaven. But you have to understand, from John's perspective, he's seeing this vision for the first time, and he doesn't quite understand what's going on. Whereas everybody that's in heaven, they understand. However, we now have, because of John's experience, we now have God's Word, so we do know what's going on, don't we? And why doesn't it lead to rejoicing? I understand there's so many things that are going wrong in this world, and I understand that it's crazy, and I understand that, but you know, the one thing about it is, like we talked about in the Sunday school in the morning service, you know, if we would see ourselves as we are, there is nobody in heaven that has any trouble seeing that they're not worthy. I mean, you may have people on earth that will come one day to the Lord, and they have no idea that they're not worthy. They think they're worthy. They'll come up and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We were preachers. Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name cast out devils? Boy, we did miracles. Lord, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Look at all the good things we did." And don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for every good thing that everybody does. I'm thankful for every hungry child that's fed. I'm thankful for every person that's helped up out of the gutter. I'm happy about it. I'm thankful for it. But if you think you're going to go to God and say, "Hey, look at all the things I did for you. Look, I wasn't like everybody else. I look at what I did." If you think you're worthy to get to heaven, you've missed it. Nobody in heaven has any problem saying we're not worthy. They're not weeping over it. They're not crying over it. They're rejoicing over the one that made them worthy. The one whose worthiness is the one that we look for. They're shouting, and he said in verse 11, "I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever." They worshiped them. They looked at that. There's rejoicing. There's shouting. There's happiness. There's joy. All of these things in heaven. You say, "Well, preacher, when I get to heaven, I'll have joy." But we're not supposed to wait till we get to heaven. I agree. When we get to heaven, we'll have joy. But would you go back to the book of John, please? Let me share with you the passage I'm looking for. If I can find the scripture I'm particularly looking for here. In John chapter 16 and verse 22. Matter of fact, let's go back to verse 20. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice," talking about his death and his burial, "and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy," talking about his resurrection. "A woman, when he is in travail, hath sorrow, but because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to have joy. We get to see the end from the beginning because God's told us this. God's given us a glimpse in the future, hadn't he? He showed us what happened at the beginning. He showed us what happened through history. He showed us how it's going to end up, hadn't he? Where's the joy? In the midst of all the turmoil of life, where's the joy of thinking it's going to be all right? It's going to be okay. It's going to be better. The devil's not going to win. God's still on the throne. There is still one that's worthy. God's will, God's work, all of it is going to be completed. And you know, that's something that's worth shouting about. That's worth something that's rejoicing about. That's a joy nobody can take from us. The things that are written here, can any man change them? Can any act of Congress, can any irritant, can any tragedy wipe these words away? Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. But where's the happiness? Where's the joy? Where is that great blessing that we hold on to in the midst of all of life's difficulties, in the midst of all life's trials, in the midst of all our failings? In the midst of all that men have done, where's that surety, that understanding that we may not be worthy, but the one who is worthy has died to wash us clean, and that he will indeed complete the work of God. Everything that's written here will come to pass. Some of it's coming to pass in front of our eyes today. And yet we're not looking, it doesn't seem. We're supposed to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I could go on and on. Looking and hasting to unto the day of our God. I could spend a lot of time talking about that. But John, when confronted with this scene, he saw something at that point he didn't really understand. And maybe, like so many of us, he looked at what God, he knew what God had said, but now he sees something that seems to be contrary to what God has said, and now he's wondering, wait a minute, did I get this wrong? And now he begins to weep. Is that how you are? You know what the Bible says, and you see something, and you see the way the world's going, and you see what people are doing, and maybe it has to do with the circumstances of your life because you expected a different outcome, or whatever the case, it could be anything. But for some reason, you're not looking at this is a surety, this is coming to pass, this will be done, this will be completed, we win the battle. Through Christ. Maybe all the joy has gone out of your life. Maybe it's because of sin. You say, I'm not worthy. About time you figured that out. But because Jesus is worthy, he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, every bit of it. Not because we're worthy, but because he is. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and imputes unto us his righteousness, which now makes me fit to serve God because he is worthy. I'm not fit to preach because I'm worthy. I'm fit to preach because he's worthy. Because he counted me faithful. If I do anything according to the will of God and I allow God to work through me at all, it is because of what Christ did, not because of who I am. It's going to be a day, isn't it? To get in heaven and see all of the angels and all of the saints with one voice praising God for his great salvation. That's going to be a day, isn't it? But we don't have to wait that long, do we? I find that people who praise God genuinely are people who have the joy of the Lord. And what he said in Nehemiah, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. They have the joy of the Lord. They praise the Lord because they have God's joy. And they have God's joy not because of who they are, but because of who he is and what he has done. Their focus is on him. They have joy because they believe God. If we believe God, where's our joy? Oh, I'm not worthy. Of course you're not. That's why Jesus died. Because you're not worthy. That's why he paid the penalty for your sin. That's why he rose from the dead. That's why righteousness, eternal life is a gift, because the righteousness required for it is a gift. You can't earn it. That's why the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if you could go through the week with joy in your heart. I hope you will. No reason why you shouldn't. If you're redeemed, if you're saved, if you can look up to heaven and sing with the saints, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. It's going to be all right because Jesus is worthy. I can rejoice. I can shout. Because Jesus is worthy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close the service today. Father, thank you for this great passage of Scripture. Lord, we've looked at ourselves in the morning service and we've seen that we're not worthy. And we've seen that it's despite our sin, even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. And he died and paid the penalty for our sin. We've seem like the Apostle Paul considering himself the chief of sinners and realizing that everything that had happened, everything he had accomplished was not through himself but through Christ as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we look into heaven and we see people rejoicing because and with joy filling their hearts, not because they're worthy but because Jesus is. Lord, help us to grab hold of that joy, to lay hold on that rejoicing and participate in it and glorify God. We pray and we ask that you'd help us to accomplish it by faith. We thank you and we pray you'd bless us as we close the service today. We pray that we'd be able to walk in joy, in the joy of the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.